This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, Entrepreneur Radio, Entrepreneur every week, coming to you on the radio airwaves and through podcasts in whatever way you may find it. Entrepreneur Radio interviews brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on your journey to personal business ownership and success. That's what we're about. Check out entrepreneur.com. So our first guest today is on fire. In just 8 weeks, she has a YouTube channel that has already gleaned 150,000 followers. She's only got 10 videos. Her name is Candace Owens. Red Pill Black is her handle, I guess we'll say. I saw her TEDx talk, and I thought, I got to interview this gal. She's brilliant. And so I want to start by telling you, Candace, that I went in my office and I said, all right, everybody watch this. Made them sit down and watch that 17, 18 minute TEDx video of you. And I just saw a woman, a young woman, you're what, 28 years old, who has got, I don't know what you got, what you've been taking, but you got it. You've got something. It's got courage. It's enthusiasm. It's a deep wisdom that comes from a wellspring that I don't know that I know where that is. I don't know that you know where that is, but it's coming out of you, and it's just like, wow. And I watched you on another couple of interviews, and I'm watching this, and I'm thinking to myself, where did this girl come from? First of all, you're African-American, which means nothing, but I'm just letting people know. You've struggled in life, and you've been bullied and recovered, and somehow you are not bitter, you're better. Somehow the journey that you are on is so inspiring to an old fat white guy like me that I said, I got to interview her.
Thank you so much. What a tremendous compliment that was. I wasn't going to stop you. I was going to keep going. That felt great to hear, to be honest.
Listen, I don't see color. I have friends of all colors, and I know that this world has this issue, but it's not mine, and I feel so bad for those that look at a black person or a yellow or a brown or whatever color they consider themselves. I always call myself a fat white guy, so I guess I'm putting color on myself. But I just think that you can. I want to ask you to just tell your story first of all, because I was like, whoa. And again, Candace Owens, everybody, we're going to spend a whole hour with you because I think you have so much to offer in so many ways, this whole, a millennial way of looking at things, this courageous, young kind of I can do anything spirit, but to actually focus it. Anyway, tell us your story.
I guess my story, the thing that I did the TED Talk on is a great place to start. But when I was in high school, I had a group of friends and then I got a boyfriend. And I did the typical 16, 17-year-old girl thing to do, and once you get your first boyfriend, you stop hanging out with all of your friends. So one person that was in that original group of friends was really upset by it, and one night he got drunk in a car with three people that were perfect strangers to me, and they decided to prank call me, and they left me three voicemails, and the content of those voicemails were pretty horrific. They pretty much listed in detail all of the African-Americans that had been killed, Martin Luther King, we're going to put a bullet in your head like we did to Martin Luther King. We're going to tar and feather your family. Just really graphic, disgusting, die. Everything that you would anticipate, the harshest things that you could say to a black person. I didn't know who left the voicemails. I didn't recognize the voices, obviously, as three of them were perfect strangers. And when I went to tell my teacher about that the next day at school, he demanded that I go to the principal's office, and the principal called the police, and then it all kind of becomes a blur. By my own stroke of misfortune, I guess you would say, it turned out that one of the people in the car, one of the strangers to me, happened to be the current sitting governor of Connecticut. So my life went from this sort of quiet, private girl that's in high school to front page news all throughout Connecticut, where I had basically people weighing in on a situation. The FBI got involved to assess the voicemails. and it just became an absolute hurricane.
All right, hold tight.
And it was really hard for me to go through that.
I guess so. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The N-word. I haven't heard anybody use the N-word in so long, and it's like, it actually hurts me to hear it. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, you hang tight. We're talking with Candace Owens, Red Pill Black. We're going to find out what that means. This is an amazing story. I hope all you entrepreneurs stay with us and listen to this whole thing. We'll be right back. Candace Owens joining us, Red Pill Black. This is Entrepreneur Radio. What is Red Pill Black? We're going to get to that in a moment. She was telling her horrific story of being bullied in high school. That was about a decade ago. She just 8 weeks ago launched a YouTube channel with 150,000 followers already with only 10 videos. There is so much to this hour of Entrepreneur Radio this week. And it starts out with this amazing story. And what happens is we see how a person blossoms in the face of horror, of fear and pain and the inability. At some point, you probably thought to yourself, Candace, what the hell do I do now? My life is destroyed. So let's go right back to where you're in the news, you're in high school, your life has been threatened, all these things. What did you do next?
You know, after the children were arrested, for me, next, I wanted to just disappear. You know, I didn't want to be this known person. I didn't want people to know my name or be able to Google me. And I spent the next 5 years suffering from severe anorexia.
Wow.
And people always ask me, how did you come out the other side of anorexia? What's the cure, if you will? And for me, it was actually having to go back and deal with what I went through. And when I went to revisit that situation mentally and have these sort of conversations with myself, I realized that I was not a victim. I wasn't the only victim, rather. All of the children involved were victims. And I really thought about what it means to be a millennial, what it means to grow up in an era of technology where you can leave a voicemail and not speak to a human being and just kind of talk to a phone. When you can send a text message in 5 seconds and not really have to give thought into the emotions of what the person is feeling when they read it. And I thought to myself, wow, this is really important stuff. And people are so quick to point to right or wrong, to use words like racism or sexism, whatever it is, that they often lose the point of what has actually transpired and where they can actually affect change. And for us, I think it really would have been okay if someone just said sorry and had some accountability.
Mm. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to you for a moment, and it immediately made me think of my friend David Corbin, who wrote the book Illuminate. And he says in there, he says, you must take a look at your problems in life and not run from them, but illuminate them, face them, follow them, and fix them. Because if you face it, follow it, and fix it, it ends. Otherwise, you keep running your whole life from it. And that's what you did. You looked at your problems and you thought, well, this is either going to kill me or I'm going to do away with it. Congratulations on that. Okay. So
thank you.
What did you do through those 5 years? I mean, I saw some pictures of you and you looked like you were wasting away. But then you broke out the other side.
During those 5 years, it was, you know, partying, you're just looking for an escape, everything that you would expect, you know, in college, trying to erase everything that had happened. And there's no way to do that. You have to, as you said, go into the fire and deal with it. And you have to own it. You know, you have to tell your own story in the way that it happened to you and stop pointing the finger. And there's nothing to be gained in being a victim is what I tell people over and over again.
Right.
Bad things happen to people all over the world. That's a part of being in life. You know, it's the game of life. So yeah, I faced it and I came out the other side and I moved to New York City and I rebuilt myself as a person.
Hmm. Tell me what Red Pill Black means.
Red Pill Black is exactly what it sounds like for those who have seen The Matrix. It is people, you know, Morpheus offers him two pills, the blue pill or the red pill. And he says the red pill, you go down the rabbit hole and you can sort of see reality for what it really is. So people that say, you know, I'm a red-pilled individual, they, I think, are trying to say that we do a lot of thinking for ourselves and we don't believe or subscribe to mass hysteria. It's a more thoughtful process of being a human being, really.
Mm. I love it. I love this stuff that you are so bold and so brave. And we have a ton of questions for you. One of them is, if we look at the political climate that we're in right now, and we'll come back and talk on the other side of the break, is, you know, should brands or people make their political affiliations known on social media? I see it all the time, and actually I'm really getting quite sick of it, but that's such a huge thing, being an entrepreneur. We're outspoken people. We want people to know right. What we think. So you, with your 8 weeks and 150,000 followers on YouTube with only 10 videos, how did she do it? What was she talking about? It's an amazing, great story. Again, her name, Candace Owens. Red Pill Black. We'll be right back. This is Entrepreneur Radio.
Smiled at me on the subway. She was with another man.
Get the latest issue of Entrepreneur Magazine delivered right to your door. Visit entrepreneur.com and subscribe today.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
Listening to Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
Well, this is Entrepreneur Weekly. Every week we do this show all across America and podcast at entrepreneur.com. And our guest right now is Candace Owens, Red Pill Black. Her YouTube, you can watch some of her cool videos. She's got 10 up there, and they've already got 150,000 followers, which, how many views? You must have a tremendous amount of views.
On YouTube, 3.5 million, I think, for the 10 videos.
Fantastic.
And a lot more on Facebook, obviously. It's platformer things can go much more viral. So I've
right.
got like French fans and Brazilian fans that are dubbing my videos in different languages. It's pretty
so
cool.
your videos tend to lean one way or another. I mean, that's why even you're called Red Pill Black, the Red Pill Conservative.
Right.
But it seems like somehow this whole experience you went through caused you to reevaluate life and what it is it all about and your political affiliations and all that. So the question I started asking is, should brands make their political affiliations known via social media, especially when it comes to people who are entrepreneurial, because a lot of the brand is the person. You know, it's like you go to a restaurant and the chef, it's his restaurant, he's the guy. And if he's a guy
right.
that, you know, leans one way or another, that's going to be determined, you know, that's going to determine who comes to his business, right?
Right. So my answer to that would be absolutely not, unless you're in the business of politics.
Ah.
I speak about social issues, which is, it's political. It's largely political. I respond directly to what's going on politically, so it makes sense for me to use my platform to talk about politics when you're in a different career path. If you're going to talk about the analogy of the chef, there's no reason for you to talk about anything other than food. You know, I'm coming to you because I'm tapping into your knowledge and I'm responding to your amazing food. And what they accidentally do is that for some reason, as people's platforms grow bigger, people will ask them random questions about what's your opinion on this, and they think, oh, I'm going to give my opinion on that, but it doesn't validate them. As a chef with a million followers, it doesn't mean that they are, you know, suited to talk about politics.
And right.
Yeah, it ostracizes a lot of the people that would otherwise love you.
Yeah. Interesting, because I watch so many folks on Facebook that it's really true, and we all know this, that we see somebody who we love until we know some of their political thinking. And we go, oh, right. I no longer love you.
Yeah, it's happened to me so many times. It really has. And it's sad. But because what it feels like they're saying to you is that because you think this or you like this, or it's like, you know, if you don't like chicken, then you're stupid. And it's like, how can I like you anymore? I like chicken, you know. So
right,
speaking negatively and directly to me when you say that sort of a thing.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. Your TEDx talk, The Truth About Your Activism, what made you pick that for a topic?
Because, again, that was about what I went through in high school, and that was a very formative moment for me. It helped me understand that we were kind of entering this age of technology where things are really flippant and things are really quick and people respond before they think. And there's a lot of judgment that is being passed very quickly by the use of just a hashtag. So what I wanted to do was use that moment to teach people that I can tell you the story and you're immediately going to jump to conclusions and you're going to want to say, well, those kids were racist. And I'm actually telling you to pause and not do that and think critically, because that's where you can bridge the gap. That's where we can all agree and come to, you know, a common place of understanding about what people go through. And I think everybody can agree that technology has brought us into an era that none of us could have possibly predicted. And it's definitely impacted us negatively in terms of connecting to one another.
Mm-hmm. You look at so many entrepreneurs and people in business, and they will tell you that the negative things that happen to them in their life are truly what gave them the opportunity they have to be successes today. Do you feel that with yourself?
110%.
I thought you were going to say 1,000%. What happened to the 1,000%?
1,000%. I always say that. It's so funny when I go back and watch interviews. I'm like, why do I just suddenly think it's always 1,000%? You know?
It's true.
But yes, the answer is yes, absolutely, 1,000%. What does not kill you, it's overused and people say it all the time, but what does not kill you only makes you stronger. I just remember being at what I thought was the absolute bottom of my existence. And then I had this thought of like, okay, well, if I'm at the absolute bottom, then the only way to go is up,
yeah.
You know? And
exactly.
You have to continue to think positively and surround yourself with people that believe in you.
Yeah. I've said this 1,000 times on the radio show, but for your benefit, I have always told my kids, you know, when they would complain about having it tough, and believe me, they never had it tough, but in their minds they did. I would say, and we have chickens. My wife loves fresh chicken, fresh eggs and chicken. But I said, you see that egg right there? The baby chicken would never live if it didn't fight its way out of that egg. And I said, that's life. You got to fight your way through it. And then guess what? You go, hey, this ain't so bad. But it sometimes starts out with a big struggle, you know? Do you consider right. yourself an entrepreneur?
Absolutely. And I wake up to that more and more every day of understanding, wow, I am the CEO of my own brand. You know, it's a different type of entrepreneur to say I'm Candace Owens, you know, and that's my brand. But I am. I'm paving a way and meeting with investors and talking about what we can do. And it's all very new to me and it's happening very quickly, but I'm excited. I'm thrilled that I have the opportunity to speak to you guys today.
No, you are one of the rare entrepreneurs because we're catching you early in the life cycle of an entrepreneur. So to me, this is really fun. It's interesting. I have a lot more questions for you. Red Pill Black, everybody, check out her YouTube videos. Check out her TEDx talk, Candace Owens with an S, Candace Owens. This is Entrepreneur Radio.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages.
Are you ready? Let's do it one time!
This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're talking with Candace Owens, Red Pill Black. You can find her on YouTube. You can find her on Facebook. This young lady is on fire. She is an entrepreneur. She has a very interesting and unique story, her TEDx talk, The Truth About Your Activism. If you want to know a little bit about her, watch that TEDx talk. But what I got out of it was, wow, there is the beginnings of an entrepreneur. And like Oprah Winfrey, she didn't, you know, she had a tough time in life, but she was the CEO of herself. And look at her today, a multi-billionaire.
Right.
And it was all, you know, kind of, you know, not your story, but we'll just say that, you know, a tough time in life in the beginning gives you character, gives you backbone. So my question to you is, let me just ask, first of all, back up. Entrepreneur Magazine, I mean, the life that you've lived up to this point, are you familiar with this magazine?
I am, absolutely. I worked in finance for 4 years, which people don't know that, after college, and we got an Entrepreneur Magazine. So I write it all the time. It's always sitting on the coffee table.
Excellent. So what are your resources to, you know, to bolster your beliefs? Where do you go? What, you know, I'm just curious because you're a young person, you're a millennial, and there aren't many people like you, I don't think, that, you know, have, like, you've kind of flipped your political, you know, affiliation and beliefs and you have some very, very strong beliefs, and you're like out there in the world, and people are just eating this up. So what are your resources?
My number one resource, and I hope that if there's any young entrepreneurs listening out there, that they listen to this. My number one resource is myself. I rely on my experiences heavily. I try not to let the world tell me what's right or what's wrong or what I should be or what I should not do. There's so much of that out there. It is ad nauseum. Look at this. Look at that. This is so not okay. This is okay. We're constantly being policed morally. Just if you go on Facebook, I mean, every 5 articles is about that. And the truth is that you have to have your number one relationship and your number one resource should always be yourself. You have to believe in yourself to almost a point of delusion, or I don't think you'll make it out. Mm. I don't think you'll find success.
It's interesting, you know, activism on a platform limited to 140 characters seems to be a good place for starting, especially, you know, conversations like this on a millennial level. But now, because, you know, our president seems to be taking that as his platform, you know, I'm just curious, how can companies join in the conversation without fear of backlash the way that, you know, I'm sure you're feeling some of that backlash, even though I believe that you're feeling the better side of, you know, what that platform offers.
Absolutely. I think that any entrepreneur, you have a right to engage, and you should engage. It's an incredibly interesting, fascinating, exciting time that we're in right now with a lot of changes happening quickly. But I think that you should engage privately. And like I said, the number one thing is not to make your consumers, unless your brand is politics, is not to make your consumers feel like they can't connect with you or like you can't understand them. Because the truth is, we're all human beings. We are all having a different experience. And just because you like it doesn't mean that I have to like it. And that's a part of, I think, of being humble and humbling yourself and understanding that your viewpoints are not necessarily everyone else's.
Here's a question for you from one of our producers here. How does your race, gender, and or sex affect your ability to make an impact in your industry? And to add to that, what are the unique challenges that you faced?
I love that question. And the answer to that is that it helps me tremendously. And when we're talking about social politics, a lot of time people will cover their eyes and shut their ears, or the other way around, shut their eyes and cover their ears if they know a person is, you know, white or not African-American, talking about African-American issues. You know, they don't want to listen to anything. And because I'm on the top of the progressive stack, I'm a female, I'm African-American, it gives me a little more wiggle room. It gives me a lot more wiggle room. I can say things about the Black community that they need to hear. I can say things about women and what I'm against in terms of feminism. And it's okay because I'm a woman, so you can't kind of use, you know, you can't immediately X me out. You kind of have to open your ears and think critically and actually debate the content of what I'm saying rather than debating the color of my skin.
Mm. What are you most passionate about when it comes to your business? Is that you're the CEO of yourself. You have to be very careful about what you say out there, but it seems like you're unafraid to speak your mind. But what are you most passionate about?
I've thrown caution to the wind for sure. There are a lot of things I'm passionate about. Number one, I think, would be father absence in the African-American community. We have a lot of issues to fix, and they're not any of the issues that are being talked about on the news. Our families have been broken down, education, prison reform, those sorts of things. So first and foremost, I definitely want to help the Black community, you know, think outside of their skin tone and start fixing the issues that are in our community. And then secondly, I definitely want to produce a new brand of feminism. I'm staunch against what feminism has become or how it's been represented. And I think that it's time for more powerful women to emerge and use their voices and to do that without tearing down the male community, which I think is something that's happening right now.
Wow, that's a pretty heavy statement you just made, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to make a lot of people happy and a lot of people sad and a lot of people mad. A new brand of feminism.
I'm terrible at mincing words.
You know? So then where do you start with this new brand of feminism? Because, again, this is an entrepreneur speaking. She's got to also figure out how to make money along the way. So where do you start?
it starts with me. And one of the most beautiful things is getting these inboxes. My inbox is flooded on Facebook from college students, college girls writing, saying, thank you so much. Like, you know, I've always felt that this wasn't right and you give me hope and, you know, you're my hero, whatever it is, because I'm telling them that they don't have to be fake outraged. They don't have to hate men. You know what I mean? I don't know when that definition, the definition of feminism started getting changed, but that's really what it means today, is you kind of have to be anti-men. And I just hope that women understand that we birth these men. You know, I'm just thinking, if I have a son one day, is this the environment that I want him to grow up in? And I value the differences between men and women. I think there are strengths in being a man, and there are strengths in being a woman. And for some reason, we've entered an era where people are telling people you have to be both. You know, I don't want to be a man.
Right.
So, yeah, I hope that I can lead the pack in that and teach women that, you know, we're strong and we can do that beside a man and not in spite of him.
Wow. I applaud your clarity. You are just bold, courageous, young Candace Owens, red pill, or, yeah, red pill black. Yes. Make sure I get that right. We're going to have one more segment, talk about people that are struggling and how you can give them some advice how to overcome struggling in life and in business. We'll be right back. Entrepreneur Radio.
Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
Don't forget you can hear our podcast. This is a live radio show, but it's in podcast later on through entrepreneur.com. Check it out there. If you're listening on the radio, there's a whole lot more. And if you're listening to our podcast, we're also on, 27 or 8 radio stations around the country. Our guest right now, Candace Owens, Red Pill Black. Actually, it's funny, Candace says Red Bill Black, but I know it's Red Pill. Anyway, okay.
I'm not so, Red Bill.
No, Red Bill. My son has a dog named Bill, and it's a girl. So, yes, confusion. Many people struggle in business and in life, and I'm hoping that you can have some words of encouragement or some advice for those who are struggling right now to overcome obstacles, because you have done that with the bullying, with the anorexia, and you're young and you're just out there doing what you love and what you believe, and it's got to make you feel alive. So what kind of words of encouragement can you have?
You know, I like to tell people that there's such beauty in struggle. There really is. I absolutely adore struggle. It's one of the reasons why I love New York City, and I've never really gelled quite right with LA, because there's just so many struggling artists in New York City, and everyone kind of carries that around them. And I want them to know that in your struggle is when you can create the most beautiful art, whatever that art is, you know, whether it's writing, whether it's painting, whether it's just sitting down and thinking. And for me, it was writing very much and flipping open and doing these videos now. That is the moment where you really can tap into who you are as an individual. So I hope that they can just change their relationship with the word struggle altogether.
Yeah, you know what? I think what you're saying is embrace the struggle and
yeah,
make it
absolutely.
Your friend, in essence, because if you don't look at it as the enemy and realize that it is trying to teach you something, I always tell my kids, you know, I'm going to be the guardrails in your life. And when you run into me, it's because you're trying to go off the cliff, and I don't want you to go off the cliff. So your struggle
right.
may be with me, but it's really because I'm trying to save you. So your struggle may be in business with yourself, with, you know,
right.
whatever you're dealing, but it's trying to keep you from something worse. So if you look at it,
absolutely,
like I said, illuminate it, you know, find it, follow it, and fix it. Then on the other side of that, you go, wow, that was intense. Had I not struggled, had I not looked at it and dealt with it in the moment when that it was happening, instead of running from it, throwing money at it. That's the biggest problem entrepreneurs have. They may have a pile of money and they keep throwing money at the problem instead of going, wait a minute, we got a problem. Let's find it,
right.
follow it, and fix it. But
absolutely,
the other side
and
of it is clarity.
It's a natural condition.
Yeah,
yep, it's
right.
clarity. And that is what I can preach to everyone. In your struggle is when you see the most clarity. When your back is against the wall is when you become a fighter. So embrace it. It's a beautiful part of being a human being.
Another question for you. How can people help you once they see what you're doing? And I know that you're, you know, I'll say this differently. What is the future for Candace Owens?
Yeah, that's a hard question. I wish I had a crystal ball. To answer the first question, I am on patreon.com/redpillblack. You can pledge any amount that you want to what I do. If you have $1 a month, you want to pledge $1,000 a month, you can do that too. That helps to keep me going and allows me, you know, to buy better audio equipment. And then I'm taking it one foot in front of the other. You know, I have a lot of appearances coming up, a lot of speeches that I'm giving to college campuses, which I'm super excited about because that's the people that I want to tap into, sort of these in the process of becoming adults. And I definitely, you'll see me on Fox News again in a couple of weeks and just keeping my name out there and staying true to who I am and continuing to make videos for the masses.
Besides me, of course, what is the one favorite thing you've done? You've done TEDx and news. I know you would say it was me.
Darn it. Yes, I was going to say this interview. My favorite thing that I've done, that is a hard one.
I'll tell you why I ask, because you will find that that may be your calling. If you're like something,
right.
You walk away from
it.
Being a radio interviewer, right? Television,
yeah.
Radio, talking in front of, you know, being a speaker. Is there anything
right.
that stands out?
I do love giving speeches. I really do. There's, unfortunately, that particular TEDx talk wasn't edited very well. They were doing the first TEDx talk there.
Yeah.
But if you could feel the energy in the room, you know, it was absolutely amazing. And I think I feed off of energy. So I probably would say giving talks is my favorite thing to do.
There you go. Well, you do a good job. Here she is, Candace Owens, everybody. Check her out. Red Pill Black, Facebook, on YouTube, and I think you'll be amazed, and she has some amazing wisdom, and, you know, we can learn from this, us older folks like myself. Candace, you're the best. Thank you so much. Good luck with everything you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk with my friend Chase Jarvis from Creative Live. He does the Daily Creative, and we answer your questions right here on Entrepreneur Radio. Also, don't forget businessandburgers.com, businessandburgers.com. We have 40 episodes of Business and Burgers where we take some of these great entrepreneurs to lunch, sit down, have a great burger, and talk about the secret of their success right there at businessandburgers.com, part of the Entrepreneur Network. All right, we're going to be right back with more Entrepreneur Radio and Chase Jarvis.
Get the latest issue of Entrepreneur Magazine delivered right to your door. Visit entrepreneur.com and subscribe today. Alan Taylor.
Well, it is now time for us to answer some of your questions. And if you want your questions answered, write this phone number down, 802-962-4357. Chase Jarvis does the Daily Creative. If you don't know who Chase Jarvis is, he is the co-founder of Creative Live, the world's leading online education platform for creatives and entrepreneurs just like you and me. You can find Chase in everything he does, along with 10,000 hours, over 10,000 hours, of creative content. Richard Branson, Mark Cuban, Tim Ferriss, a lot of great, great, great guests at creativelive.com. All right, Chase, this question comes all the way from New Zealand. It is William. And William is a photographer, and he wants to know, how do I overcome my fear of approaching clients? He says, I know I can do it, but I still have this fear of approaching clients. And this, once again, is from William, all the way from New Zealand.
William, one thing in there I want you to be careful with is like, you know you can do it. Like, that's important to have confidence and trust in your ability. Just remember, the ability to do it when no one's watching and the ability to do it professionally at a high level are different things. So, in a way, this is the same answer. Like, it's not just going straight from not doing anything to high-end clients. You just have to get in the arena. You have to be used to doing it professionally on a schedule with people watching, and that is the thing that's going to get you over the fear. And it's a little bit of take small risks over and over and get comfortable and then grow that. It's a very, very simple concept, and yet it's so, I think, misunderstood. Most musicians that I know rarely go from like producing music in their, you know, in their basement in high school to an arena. They grow over time. And so the same is true with any creative discipline, or even the same is true in entrepreneurial endeavors where you're creating a product, learning about the marketing of the thing, putting it out there, getting feedback, iterating on some thing that you may have built, a product or service online or whatever. You have to start. And most people that I see out there, they try and go from 0 to 100, and then their ambition is too big for their ability. What they really need to do is just start doing something small, but start tomorrow. Because planning for this gigantic coming out party where you're going to launch your big business and go to high-end clients, that's just fiction. And the same is true with musicians. The same is true with building businesses and companies. Like, start small. Airbnb, Joe Jebbia was just on Chase Jarvis Live on Creative Live, and he was talking about they needed money to offset their rent in their apartment, and there was a conference coming to town. They rented like air mattresses on the floor of their apartment. So it wasn't just this fully hatched idea and went from 0 to 1,000 miles an hour. And the same is true for you. So stage fright, fear, all those things, they require, they're like, it's like a muscle. It's a muscle that you have to build over time. You know, if you put 9 women who are pregnant in a room, you can't have a baby in 1 month. So the same thing applies. You have to put in the work, you have to put in the time, and it's that small act of creating, you know, start maybe doing work for a local business or start doing it for yourself, and then when you feel confident in your ability and you think you can do it for somebody else, do it for a local business and then a regional business, or get really good, be the best person in your town, the person that everybody goes to for their fill in the blank, if you're a designer, to have their wedding invitations designed, if you're an entrepreneur, to have food delivered to your door in a small town. You get the point. It's the repeated pushing yourself a little bit harder, taking a little bit more risk, and learning all along. That's how big things happen. It's 1,000 small steps. If you're not a photographer like William in New Zealand, everything I've just said applies to you anyway. So the only thing you can do wrong is not start, and starting something and doing is better than pontificating and doing nothing.
That's right. Just do it. Just get started. Make that jump, because nothing's going to happen till you lean into it. All right. Thank you, Chase Jarvis. Again, you can find everything Chase Jarvis does at his website, creativelive.com. Also, the phone number, once again, 802-962-4357. That's 802-962-4357. And you can leave your question for Chase Jarvis. We can answer that right here on Entrepreneur Radio. We do this every week. And then don't forget, you can also check out our website, if you're not there right now listening to our podcast, entrepreneur.com. There is so much good stuff there. Check out the videos, the other podcasts from the other hosts, and tools that will help you to become a better person, a better entrepreneur, a better business person, whatever you're looking for. Become part of the tribe. Once again, we want to thank Candace Owens and Chase Jarvis for being on the show today. We gave Candace almost the full hour there. Very interesting stuff. Check her out on YouTube, Red Pill Black. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Radio every week. We'll see you next time.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.